Tamura, Perik Vav, Mishalev 6:1. We start a new Perik here, and the topic of this chapter are various types of animals which are invalid as korbanos, not because they necessarily have something like a blemish on the outside, but because of something that happened to them in the past, which renders them now forbidden to be used as a korban. And that's going to mean that they, since they're sort of undetectable from the outside, if they're have the status, so they can get mixed up with other animals. So before we begin the main topic of this chapter, which is to go through these different animals and what's wrong with them, and you know, the technicalities of when they can't serve as an offering anymore, we're going to make a simple point, which is that these animals are forbidden even if they get mixed up with other animals. So that is to say, normally the rule is when you have a mixture, a tarovis, of different things which are discrete, they're not combining like their tastes and mixing together in that way. They're just, you know, you have three chicken wings, and you know, one of the chicken wings came from a bird which is a novella, and two of them from properly shechted animals, but now you just, they look like chicken wings. You can't tell the difference one from the other. So you have a tarovis, a mixture of all three wings. And the basic principle is that when you have a tarovis, such a mixture of undifferentiable individual items, all the items get a single status based on the status of the entire tarovis, the entire mixture. And the rule is, midoraisa, that acher rab lahato, so go after the majority. So if the majority of the constituent parts of the mixture have one halachic status, so then the other minority elements lose their identity in the face of the majority, and they all get a single majority status. So for example, if you had one non-kosher chicken wing and two kosher chicken wings, so then you don't know which is which, they're all mixed up, so then all three wings get the status of the majority, which are kosher, and then all three chicken wings are permitted to be eaten. Okay? Now, that said, midrabanan, there are certain things that the rabbis felt were what are called devar mishen nisbatlam, things that are just too significant to lose their identity amongst the rest of the elements of the mixture. So there are a number of different types of these category. I think there are six, if I remember. But in any case, one of them is a living creature. A living creature, a beria, has its own status and simply is too significant to lose its identity. So while chicken wings can lose their identity amongst others, chickens, entire chickens, cannot. Okay, so here in our mission, we're going to say that there are certain animals which would be invalid to be offered as a korban. Just for example, let's say an animal had been worshipped for avodah zarah. So the animal now, that was last week, you can't see it on the face of the animal. The animal walks into the herd, and now you have, you know, 10 cows, and 9 of them are regular cows, one of them had been worshipped. So since you don't know which is which, all 10 become now forbidden to be offered, even though the majority of them are, yes, permitted, but because one of them can't lose identity midrabanan. And since one of these could be a forbidden animal, then anyone could be forbidden. So each of them and all of them are forbidden to be used. That's the basic first point of our Mishnah. It says, Kol ha'asurin al gabi ha'mizbeach, any animal which is forbidden to be put on the mizbeach as an offering, osrin kol shein, they forbid a mixture in any ratio, meaning even if you have one forbidden cow mix up with 1,000 permitted cows, then all 1,001 now all can't be brought as korbanos. Okay, now what is the list of animals which, you know, from the outside you can't tell, but there's something that happened to them in the past which makes them now forbidden? These kind of go in pairs. The first is haroveya vanirva. This is an animal that is involved in bestiality. So the roveya means that it was a male animal, and a nirva means it was a male person. They're forbidden to be used as korbanos forever. Hamukta vahaneavad. Mukta means an animal set aside to be used as an offering to an idol. So as you're planning on sacrificing this cow, and it's designated as such. Simply, verbal designation isn't good enough for someone to have the status of mukta, meaning unlike when it comes to regular korbanos, if I say harezu ola, that verbal consecration is effective to make it permanently as a designated as ola. Not true when it comes to avodah zarah, you'd have to do some physical act, like, you know, cut a tear in preparation for its, you know, being offered. But once that happens and it had that physical act done to it, it's forevermore forbidden to be offered to Hashem. A ne'avad is an animal which was served, meaning that someone bowed down, or the equivalent, to this animal. And once that happens, so the animal is forbidden to be used as a korban forevermore. Normally, when you bow down to something, that thing becomes not just forbidden for bringing to Hashem, but it comes forbidden bahana, any benefit whatsoever is forbidden. However, there's a general rule which is that things that essentially that Hashem made, like a mountain or a river, if people worship it, that doesn't make it forbidden to everybody. And animals also are things that Hashem made, so to speak, and therefore they cannot become forbidden bahana for getting benefit. So if someone bows down to a cow, the cow becomes forbidden to be offered to Hashem, but the cow could be slaughtered and eaten. Okay? Then you have the Esnan u'mechir, this pair, they're combined in a pasuk. Esnan is the payment given to a prostitute, and a mechir is the payments for purchasing a dog or bartering, trading a dog. Okay, we'll see more about that in the Mishnayos as we go on a little further. Then you have vahikilayim. Kilayim is the offspring of a mixed, you know, one animal, let's say it was a goat and one was a sheep, and the mommy was a goat and dad was a sheep, or vice versa, and then they had an offspring. This could happen. If it does happen, and if in theory the animal can't be differentiated from other animals, it gets mixed up with other animals, then all the animals in the mixture would become now forbidden to produce a korban, because the kilayim can't produce a korban. Again, this is all based on psukim. Hatrefa. A trefa is an animal which has this mortal wound, which means it's going to die in the next 12 months, like a hole in its lungs, let's say. Now, the case of the missionary can't be where you actually have an animal with some sort of hole in its lungs, because from the outside, how could you tell? And it can't be that it has some sort of defect from the outside, like, you know, it's been lost a leg, it's severed above the knee, because then you could see that's the three-legged cow, which is clearly distinct from all the other non-three-legged cows. So it comes up saying the case is the animal was attacked by, let's say, a lion or a wolf, you know, and it even has scars on its back from when the lion attacked it. But the thing is that, and that makes it a trefa, but as it happens, this animal with the scars on its back got mixed up with other animals that also have scars on their back. Those animals' scars came from, you know, thorns, which wouldn't make it a trefa, but this animal's scars came from a lion, but you can't now tell which is which. So now you have a mixture, a tarovus of three animals, let's say, one of them which was a trefa because it was attacked by a lion, the other two not, but you can't tell which is which, therefore all of them are forbidden to be brought as korbanos. And finally, the yotze dofen. The yotze dofen is the animal which was literally being taken from the side. This means cesarean birth, so it didn't come out in a normal way. It came out, there was surgery, the animal's, you know, whatever, abdomen, let's say. So then the animal, again, based on psukim, is invalid to run as a korban. Okay, now, new paragraph. The Mishnah will go through many of these different invalidations and discuss them at more length. So the first thing is, ezehu muktza. What constitutes an animal that was set aside to be offered to an idol? Hamukta lavodazar. We're talking something which was set aside specifically not for anything else other than to be set aside to be offered to an idol. Okay, not like mukta on Shabbos, set aside for something else. And to do that, has an act has to be done to it. Hu asr, and at that point, the animal is forever forbidden to be offered as a korban to Hashem. Umasha alav mutar, but the thing on, let's say that if it's wearing a crown on its head, you have a cow they're gonna, you know, use as an offering, but they put a crown on its head as part of the pre-offering procedure. So the crown on its head, since it wasn't offered and it wasn't served, it's not forbidden, and we don't mean it's permitted for hana. I mean it's even permitted to go on the mizbeach. Hypothetically, if you know the altar needed a new gold, you know, overlay, you could use the gold from that crown on the altar, because again, the crown on top was never offered to an idol. It just was sitting on top of the head of an animal, which was set aside to be offered as such. Ezu ne'evad, what does it mean, an animal which was served itself? So that means kol sha'odinoso, an animal which was actually served, you know, in other words, they bowed down to this animal, or they, you know, offered it incense, or they offered it, you know, they offered it other sacrifices and so on. So they worship this animal. That would make the animal now forbidden forevermore to offer to Hashem as an object of, you know, it's like an idol. Hu masha alav asr. In that scenario, both the animal itself and what was on it are both forbidden for, you know, those are both forbidden certainly for bringing to Hashem. So that means if the cow is wearing the crown, people bow down to the cow, so the cow is forbidden, and the crown is also forbidden from going to Hashem. That's because when they bow down to it, it wasn't just the cow, it was also what was on the cow, the crown that they bowed down to. But that said, v'zevzeh mutarn b'achila. The cows in both scenarios are mutar b'achila, meaning even though people bow down to the cow, they could, the owner of the cow, let's say, could eat it. Because why? Because it's not asr bana, like I said before, you can't make something that you worship forbidden for benefit if it's something that like wasn't man-made, it was Hashem-made, so to speak. And that's true both for the set aside for the Zorah and for the worshiping. However, if they bow down to the cow and had the crown on its head, so that crown is man-made, not by Hashem, and therefore the crown itself is actually not just asr for the mizbech, it's asr bahana. If they worship the animal with the crown on its head, so then you could do nothing with the crown you can just, you know, essentially grind it up and throw it into the Dead Sea or whatever the story is. Asr Bahana.